Okay, we are a go. Welcome to Call 32, everybody. Tonight we're talking about communication, which is something that all three of you and the other ladies who are likely to be joining us tonight, themes that are like up, like alive in their in your lives. So I'm really excited to jump in. We're going to be doing a lot of sharing tonight. So I'm going to be teaching a little bit like I usually do, but kind of in the latter portion of the call or the middle portion. And my intention for this tonight is for all of us to have a safe space, as we usually hopefully all always do, but to have a safe space to talk about and receive and hear and support and share these challenges that come up around communication or questions that we have, or maybe things that we don't really know how, like what to do about or who to talk to. So tonight is going to be a vulnerable night, just to set the stage and let you all know. You are always welcome to share as much or as little as you feel, you know, comfortable. Of course, I always encourage that we stretch our comfort zone a bit into the orangey red. But you know, I know that this is very delicate stuff and this can run pretty deep in terms of like relationships with other people and emotions. So that space is held here. I'm here to facilitate, of course, and make sure that we are all being mindful of the tender nature that communication can be. So that being said, let's go ahead and do our introductions first, like we usually do. So name, location, something you're grateful for, and how are you feeling? So let's keep introductions to a minute. And then after introductions, we're gonna do an activity together. It's a sentence completion activity, and I've done this many, many times, as a participant in groups and workshops and women's circles and things like that. And I've facilitated it or co-facilitated it a few times in workshops as well. And it's a really, opening, kind of low pressure, but high value way to share our world around certain themes, this one obviously being communication. So we'll do that for a while or for a little bit. It's to bring us all closer. It's essentially we're all sharing a conversation around a theme and like our perspectives and experiences around communication. So we'll do that. And then I'll do a little bit of teaching or a little bit of like going over that workbook. I don't know why I hesitate to use the word teach, but maybe it sounds too formal. But I want to highlight some of the themes in that workbook. There are some elements in there that have been totally life-changing and pivotal for me in my communication when I remember to use it. And these are things that I don't know, I hadn't really heard them in personal development realms until I specifically started studying communication and doing those kinds of workshops. So these are tools and tips that are maybe not very common, but they're super, super helpful. So we'll talk about some of those and then we'll do another activity to wrap out the call tonight. And the final activity is going to also be pretty open and sharey. So lots to do. Okay. Cool. So let's go ahead and do introductions and then we'll move along. Before we do that, actually, does anybody have any questions or comments or special needs? Okay. All right. Perfect. I'll start the round. I'm Fawn. I'm in Yalapa and I am really grateful for my body. I don't know if you ladies are all in the Make It Happen May group, but anyway, yesterday I hiked a mountain in 90 degree heat because I'm a crazy person. No, I'm committed to my fitness. And so I hiked from the ocean up to almost the top of the mountain where my boyfriend's beautiful property is. And it kicked my ass. And I was really concerned that today I wasn't going to be able to walk, but my body is like actually totally great, and I think wants to do it again. So I'm feeling really grateful for the increasing commitment I have had to my fitness and how it's like it's kind of paying off now. And I'm feeling really present and excited, joyful to drop into all of this with you ladies. You all mean so much to me and I just feel an immense amount of gratitude, like physically, for being able to share this with all of you and hold space and also be a part of it. So, yeah, feeling good and sweaty. I'm super sweaty. So if that happens, all right. Lauren, would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi. I'm Lauren. I'm living in San Diego right now. And I would say that I'm grateful that I just started beginning sessions with Fawn again. Yay. And so it's really exciting for me. I think it took me a while to get back into it, but I'm really wanting to start making personal changes and progression. So I'm excited for that.
Yay. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Lauren. I'm so grateful too. I'm really excited. How are you feeling right now?
I'm could be better. I actually threw out my neck, so I've been kind of having issues physically, not feeling good. And with, you know, my neck issues and stuff already, it's been kind of hard because I get migraines. And so, you know, I could be better, but I'm not complaining. I'm here and I just ate some chocolate. So life is also good.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. Oh, well, get in a cozy spot and yes, yay chocolate. Get as comfortable as possible. Oh. Layla, would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Okay. Thank you. So, yes, my name is Layla. I'm located in Bangkok, Thailand right now. I am very grateful to be here with you guys. It's been a very long time since I've been able to come to a meeting because it's been a work conflict, but now I have a little more flexibility with my schedule and I can wake up earlier and it's 7:30 here. So, and I'm also grateful because I've been meaning to start waking up earlier. I've been thinking about it for a while. So this meeting was definitely a motivator to go and do that. And I'm feeling good. I'm a little sleepy because this is my first time waking up at a little bit on the earlier side, but also very excited because I know that it's a habit that I want to get back into, waking up this early. And I know the first few days, after the first few days, it gets a lot easier. So yeah, definitely. Yeah, just happy to be here.
Yay. Thank you for waking up early to be with us. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate that you're leveraging that as a motivation or maybe an alibi to wake up early and start the habit. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Herky, would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, my name is Herky and I live in Pennsylvania. And I am grateful today, like Fawn, I'm also grateful for my body today. From work, we went for a mindfulness class today and we had mindfulness walk.
Yes!
So we all experienced how it is to be in your body and how your knees and joints and how I could hear my heartbeat, literally feel the senses. So it was very beautiful and felt very grateful for that. And excited about, our session today on communication and also being part of the tribe, getting there. So.
Yay. Beautiful. Thank you so much for that introduction. I'm so happy that you went to that class or that class was happening and you had an opportunity to go. And oh my gosh, yeah, moving meditation is a really amazing thing. If you other ladies haven't ever done that, it's very, you just walk around and like stay present basically.
Exactly. Yeah. When your mind is so full, I think your body really helps you get out of it. Yeah. I instantly felt like within a few minutes. It was so
awesome.
Good.
Yes. Thanks for sharing that. On that note, actually, on Kristen Neff's website, theselfcompassion.org, she has guided meditations, free guided meditations on there. And she has a couple of body scan, self-compassion body scan meditations that are really good. So I just want to share that if you're interested. Beautiful. Thanks for the intros, ladies. Awesome. So we're going to segue into an activity. It's called sentence completion. Like technically that's what this is. And really what it is though, to me, it's an invitation to share share a part of our experience and our story around a prompt, right? And or a spontaneous, just like in a conversation where someone asks you a question you may not be expecting. So this is kind of dual-sided today. It's an opportunity to kind of practice the art of spontaneous honesty and vulnerability and authenticity. And it's also an opportunity for us to share with each other on these, for these specific prompts. I have them written here, which is why I'm looking down. An opportunity to share with each other what comes up for us. Sometimes it can be hard to just talk about, like, oh, tell me about how you feel about communication. You know, it's like, well, I don't know. Where do I start? So hopefully these will be helpful, insightful. If you don't feel comfortable answering, that's totally okay. You can just say pass. If one of these or if some of these feel like really alive for you, meaning like if you're like, ooh, I really want to share around that right now, that's something that like really connects or resonates, that's great. Feel free to just say, I'm going to take a minute or two to talk about this as opposed to 30 seconds. So I would like for each of us to have 30 seconds for each sentence completion. We'll do this for about 15, 20 minutes or as long as it feels valuable. And I'll give an example and then I'll ask if anyone has questions and then we'll dive in. So an example that I have here, I wish I knew how to. Okay. So I wish I knew how to stop talking when somebody is asking me to just listen. Sometimes I have a hard time stopping, like just shutting up when the other person wants to share. So I wish I knew how to do that. I wish I had those, like, I would like to learn how to manage my reactions better in that way. So is this making sense? Did that example help connect? Okay. Is there anybody who would not like to participate and would like to sit out instead? Totally fine. Okay. Okay. All right, so I'll start. I'm going to participate with you ladies because there's only four of us right now at least. So that gives us a bit more time here. And I also would like to participate so that I'm in the vulnerability zone container with you. And also so you can know my truth and my honesty around these things too. But I'll probably keep my responses a bit more abbreviated so that you have the opportunity to share what you would like to share. Okay, so the first prompt is, to me, communication is. So take a moment to reflect on that. We'll do like 15 seconds of reflection before we share. To me, communication is. And my apologies for the roosters in the background. It's just a Mexico thing. Okay, take another moment. And this is also meant to be pretty spontaneous, pretty improvisational. So you don't have to give it too much thought or come up with like a total speech about it. All right, so I'll start out. To me, communication is an opportunity to both be seen by somebody else and to see somebody else, to learn about who they are and what their reality is like, and share, kind of channel my reality in sharing with them. Communication sometimes is confusing. Communication to me is really important. And also communication to me can sometimes be scary. Like I enjoy it a lot, but sometimes it's scares the shit out of me. okay. Let's see. I'll go circle around to Lauren. Would you be willing to share with us what comes up for you?
Yeah. Do I just say one thing or do I say multiple things?
You've got 30 seconds, so whatever, however much, much or little you'd like to share.
Okay. I think communication to me is just part of something. I think it goes a little bit above. I mean, communication is almost trying to interpret how you're feeling. Communication is also hard for me when I am feeling very angry. Communication to me is something I feel like I'm very good at. Communication to me is something I'm scared of when I'm talking in front of the big crowd.
Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah. Layla, would you be willing to share?
So communication to me is, it's everything. It's the things that you say to each other. It's the body language. It's your actions, like cooking for someone, I think, or pouring someone a glass of milk. Those are all forms of communication, even if you don't speak the same language. I think communication is verbal and action. And I think can be a great chance for us to get to know each other and each other's intentions and more about each other. And is also very confusing too, because sometimes if it's not genuine, it can be mistaken as genuine, and that's, to me, that's very confusing. But when it is genuine, it's all of it's really cool, though, especially when it is genuine.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Cool. Herky.
So I see communication as business work versus personal. I mean, two types. Mm-hmm. So in business, it's more about, speaking clearly and letting the other person understand what exactly you're looking for and presentation and all those things. And the personal side of me with all my people, my friends and my coach and everybody else, it has to flow. It has to be authentic, and it should just, flow freely without me, thinking about anything. It should just be like a smooth river where the other person feels free to share and I feel free to share my deepest thoughts and feelings.
Oh, that's beautiful. I like the word free that you used. Yeah, free to share. Beautiful. Thank you, ladies. Is this feeling okay so far? Are we feeling all right with sentence completion? Okay, we're going to go a little bit deeper. So, and all of these prompts, obviously, but I'm going to say it. All these prompts are related to communication. So I feel small or insecure when? I feel small or insecure when? Okay, I'm seeing that we have a chat and Layla turned into a dog. Oh, she went to get her battery. Okay. What is going on? okay, close that. All right, so I'll have Lauren start this one if you're okay with it, Lauren, that I feel small or insecure when.
Okay. I feel small and insecure when I don't get something on the first try. I feel small and insecure when I don't believe that I'm capable of doing something when I know that I am. I feel small and crap. What was the other one?
Insecure.
I feel small and insecure when I'm being put on the spot. I feel small and insecure when I'm comparing myself to other people's success.
Thank you for sharing those. Yeah. Herky.
I feel small and secure soon after I share my deepest secrets. Takes me a while after it has come out of my mouth. I also feel small and insecure when my inner gremlin gets too loud and, you know, I start shrinking. That's all I have for now.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Is it a specific gremlin or is it the whole party of gremlins?
different types. Like I said, you know, I shared with you earlier, my gremlin is more like a teacher with a stick in the hand and always trying to achieve perfectionism. So it keeps coming, and because of better awareness now I'm able to at least better maintain it, but for many, many years trying to, you know, overachieve and portray a good image, I guess I could not be myself, but I'm so glad that I'm beginning to come out of that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you for sharing. Okay, I think Layla's still getting her charger. So I feel small and insecure. Gosh, the triggers with communication and insecurity for me are feeling small. So if I have a perception or a story that somebody, the person I'm talking to or the person talking to me, is more important than me or more successful than me or prettier, like just like I pedestalize people. It's a work in progress. I've been working on this for a long time. But if I'm in a conversation, I'm communicating with somebody where I perceive them to be above me, I feel small and insecure. And it's usually totally bullshit, but that's a big trigger. I feel small or insecure when sometimes when I'm being challenged about my values or my life choices, or why I, like, why'd you do it that way? Or, you know, just things like that. I can start to feel small or insecure, which then turns into defensiveness, which then turns into a problem. those are my shares. That's 30 seconds. Yeah. Layla, would you be willing to share with us, in terms of communication, the prompt is, I feel small or insecure when?
Okay. Thank you. I caught some of it. So, thanks for everyone for being honest and sharing. For me, you know, I feel small and insecure when I compare myself to other people. I feel small and insecure when I'm changing and I'm growing. Like, that's horrifying sometimes, but also good. I feel small and insecure when I start to question my relationships that I've had for a very long time. And I feel small and insecure when I'm in a new environment.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. We're going to kind of go into the, I don't know, those kind of like stretchier vibrations, and then don't worry, we're going to swing back up to the more like buoyant ones. So the next prompt is, and this is again in context of communication. I feel lost when. I feel lost when. Okay. All right. Layla, would you be willing to start this one?
I feel lost when, sometimes when I'm getting to know someone, because you want to, I feel like a lot of times I want to get past that small talk and get to know them a little bit better, but you also don't want to like probe anything too personal. So you want to, like, I feel like it's good to break the ice, but you don't want to be invasive of their privacy or of their time. And so I feel lost trying to find a happy balance between the two.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that was super relatable. Thank you. Herky, would you be willing to share?
Yeah, so I feel lost when I don't have stability in my present life. A bit of it is me trying to control things, but a bit of it is I feel alone, and I feel like, lost, I would say, more than alone when current life doesn't make sense and I'm trying to find my vision or make peace with what's happening. So,
yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Lauren, would you be willing to share?
Yeah. I would say I feel lost when I don't feel like I can, I don't go with my gut or my intuition. So I question it. I feel lost when I don't have things planned, like out completely. I feel lost, to be honest, when decisions really aren't made for me. And I feel lost when, honestly, when I'm tired, I just kind of go into a complete daze and, you know, kind of trying to figure out my emotions and how I'm feeling and things like that just get more complicated and complex. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, ladies, so much for opening up about that. So we're going to do... Let's do one more on the like kind of struggly side of the spectrum, and then we'll pendulum over to the other. And from here on out, let's reinstate the. We used to do this a lot on the calls, and I'm gonna bring this back. So this is a technique or a nonverbal technique from the authentic relating world, which. If anybody's interested in knowing what that is, authentic relating, I'm happy to share that with you. It's an awesome community. It's relatively new, 8 years or so. I feel like they've been around. Super popular now. It's like in every city. But basically, it's a group of people getting together and like getting real and playing games, like communication games. It's super, super cool. I did like a 12-week workshop a few years back. Some of you may remember that. But at any rate, so there's this technique, nonverbal communication technique. It's this, if you relate to something somebody's saying. So someone's doing a share and you're like, oh my God, that's so me too. Like you can do that. Or if it's like, oh my gosh, I feel like she's like saying what I'm thinking right now. If it's that level of relatability, you can do like two hands. Nothing too distracting because we want the other person to feel like we're present with them. But it's just a nice way to know that we're not alone. So much of what you ladies have already shared, I'm like, oh my gosh, me too. Yay, Miss Kim. Awesome. Hi, Kim. Can you see me, hear me?
Hi.
Hi, sweetie. Your hair is so on fire right now.
Thank you. It's cute. Sticking up, and I was like, whoa.
I love it. It's super cute. So, Kim, we are in an activity right now. I'm going to hop you into the activity, give you some context. It's very straightforward. You can participate if you'd like to. You don't have to if you don't want to. It's the sentence completion activity where I'm reading the beginning of a sentence and then each of us, we're going in a round to share what's alive for us around that question or around the prompt. So we're doing 30 seconds each to share, and we're going to do this for probably another 10 or 15 minutes or so. And I was just right before you hopped on or as you were hopping on, I was saying, I want to bring back the relatability, the nonverbal, relatability hand. I'm not sure if you remember that, but if someone says something that you can relate to, it's one of these, or if it's like, oh my God, totally, you can do two. So the way it works, Kim, I'll just do a little demo. The last one we just did is, and all of this is pertaining to communication, right? Because that's our theme. So the last one we just did was, I feel lost when. So I haven't shared mine yet, so I'll go ahead and share that to give you an example as well. And then I'll just plug you right into the circle. You okay with that? Beautiful. Awesome. Okay, so I feel lost when somebody's accusing me of something. Like if somebody comes at me with an attacking mode, or I'm perceiving it to be that way, or both, I get super lost, like especially if they're way off base, and my reality and my truth is like not at all what they're referring to. I'm like, I don't know what to do right now. I just kind of, it's almost like deer in the headlights, or just like freeze and blank out. I feel lost in terms of communication when, especially with my partner, when we have a disagreement or like can't seem to get on the same page. It's not common, but when it happens, I'm just like, no, like, what do I do? Like, what do we do? It's just this feeling of like, lost, and I like dropped my compass and I can't find my compass or something. okay, so I'll wrap there. Kim, would you be willing to share? I know you just hopped in.
Okay. Hello, everybody. I feel lost when I feel like I'm being misunderstood. When somebody is saying something and they're not getting what I'm saying, I just totally get lost because I'm thinking, okay, how did they think that? I don't know what they mean. I thought I was clear. It just, I don't know. Sometimes I just want to shut down because it's like, I don't like it. Sometimes I get lost when someone's confronting me about something and I never have the comeback right then. But then when time passes, it's like, why didn't I say that? You know, and then you don't want to bring it up again. But I think, so I'm looking for every opportunity to bring it up, to say one thing, and then I got it. So yes.
Oh yeah. Thank you so much. Yes. Oh my gosh. It's so good to have you in the circle. Okay, so the next one is kind of our segue. We've been kind of on the stretchier, low vibration end of the experiential spectrum. Now we're going to start swinging over to the other side. So this is kind of a neutral one, but in terms of communication, I wish I knew how to, or I wish I could, but I'm going to say I wish I knew how to. In terms of communication, I wish I knew how to. We'll take 10 seconds to reflect. Okay. Let's see here. Who hasn't gone first yet? Herky, would you be willing to go first? You are muted. Thank you, darling. Cool.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
So I wish I knew how to be more assertive and set boundaries with people. Mm-hmm. All empathic people, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're welcome to share more about that if you'd like, or elaborate a bit. You don't have to. Just want to open it up.
No, I mean, it keeps coming to me. I guess nature will keep teaching me until I finally learn. But it has not yet come. But my childhood, I was this good, obedient girl for my parents, and my marriage, I got separated last year. It was always a challenge with in-laws. I mean, it always happens with me, and I so want to, but it's more like I'll keep taking until my glass is full, and then I'll explode. and whatever. yeah, so I guess everybody is the same. Mm-hmm. And now at work, I face the same thing. So I'm aware that what's happening, and sometimes I think of a clearly drafted answer to help me, or like somebody advised me. For example, I also say yes very easily. So somebody said that anytime somebody talks to you, just say, can I get back to you? You know, or use like, so have that. Yeah. Just to help you with these strategies. But yeah. It's like it's written all over my face, walk over me. And I don't know why. I guess as the self-love increases, it'll automatically happen. That no. But getting there. So I have to be kind to myself in that light, you know, just getting there.
Beautiful. That was so, that was very, very precious. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And looks like we can all relate pretty deeply to that one. Yeah. Like saying yes. Like, why do we do that? Let's see here. We'll just go in a circle. Layla, would you be willing to share?
Yeah, I wish I knew how to navigate my relationships, which I think in a lot of cases, in all of them, require some form of communication. You know, I've also had some issues with boundaries, and I say yes all the time to people, and many of my relationships, including ones I've like known for years, they've known me for years to say yes or not to say anything if something upset me. And I'm at a place in my life where like I've had it. Yeah. thanks, guys. I wish. So it's a confusing time right now because I have love for these people, but I need to set a boundary or say something, do something about these things. I don't think ignoring it is going to help. So I wish I knew how to address those things, how to communicate with those people or set those boundaries. But I know that it's something that's important that I won't let go, and that I feel positive about working through it. I just know it's going to be some deep thinking and doing some things I haven't done before, which will be difficult. You know, training my brain to get used to what's not familiar for me is very, very hard, but will be worth it. Hopefully you'll be familiar with time.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. I so appreciate your commitment to doing the work, you know, and really setting, like, committing that time for yourself to go through the process instead of just putting it in the closet or like the back burner. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. Lauren, I wish I knew how to.
I wish I knew how to effectively communicate with my friends and my peers around me, kind of what I want. I know oftentimes when I get into, I call them my moods. I don't really even know myself all the time what the best thing for somebody to do is. But I think that if I, you know, really try to look deep inside, I could try to express and communicate with my friends. Like, you know, I think I just need a hug right now, actually. I think I just need, you know, maybe some time apart or whatever the situation might be. So I think being able to kind of understand how to communicate how I'm feeling and what I genuinely want.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I super can relate with you. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for offering that up. Let's see here. Kim, I'll field this to you. I wish I knew how to.
Kind of what I just talked about, like speaking my truth in the moment.
I do take a pause, and I don't think the pause is a bad thing, but I often get lost in what other people are saying, and I just don't think I speak my truth in the moment, whether it's with friends, colleagues. I'm not one to share my own opinions or ideas first. I'm always listening to someone else, and I don't think that's always bad, but sometimes I think I wait a long time to say what it is. And I know that part of that is just afraid of how I come off to other people. So it's not that I don't have anything to say. It's just that I wonder how it's going to come across. So I think I could share much quicker if I was more confident in my own, in myself.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go ahead and swing the pendulum up to the positive end of the spectrum here. And we'll do one round of this, and then we're going to go ahead and shift over. Let's see here. I'm going to try to choose one. Yeah, okay. Great communication looks like ... So you can give an example or of like something that comes to mind of like, oh, that went well, and you can share that, or just like generally, what does good communication feel like to you, look like? What is that? What's that about? Let's talk about the good stuff. All right, I will go ahead and start this one. I'm going to be abbreviated with it, but to me, great communication is when I feel heard, I feel understood, the other person expresses that they feel heard, they feel understood. Great communication is also when there's been a bit of a, well, great communication feels like when it's really in flow, like it's just like jamming and we're having a great conversation and it's like, oh yeah, me too, like this thing. And it's just like, you know, those conversations you can have when you're like, it's been 3 hours. How's it been 3 hours? It also kind of feels great when it's stretchy and at the end of it, there's a resolve where both are like, you know, the hug, whether, I don't know, figuratively or literally, but it's like, we just made it through that. And like, we just did that, you know, that's great communication. let's see, I'll start with Lauren. Maybe she stepped away for a second. I'll go to Kim.
Okay. Good communication, I think, is when two people or a few, whether they agree or disagree, kind of feel like you can walk away from it appreciating the opposite point of view or appreciating the fact that, you know, you feel the same about something and, you know, you found somebody who kind of thinks like you. And when I'm in a really good conversation with somebody, I think similar to what you said, just we're clicking. There's some similarities, but it doesn't have to be, you know, total similarity. It can be a difference too, but just the fact that, like you said, that everybody's been heard and you can come to an understanding and walk away from it, not upset or anything, but maybe even have learned something from the other person who thought differently than you. So, yeah.
Terrific. Okay. Herky, what is good communication like for you? Oh, you are muted.
I should stay unmuted. So great communication, whether verbal or nonverbal, is, I feel, between two or more people, when they can share without inhibitions and just letting their feelings out, whether it's just having a lot of fun or lots of tears, whatever it may be, feeling so much lighter after that. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that feeling of of lightness. Oh, it's so nice. Layla, what is great communication like for you?
I would say that great communication is when you're communicating with other people and this is like my favorite form. So my favorite form of communication is when you and the other person or people can be, you know, completely honest with each other, respect each other, listen to each other, happy to share with each other. And there's no like there's no judgment through the conversation. You know, the conversation is open. Whether you guys agree with each other or not, you communicate respectfully. And I think that when there are differences, it's a good opportunity to learn from each other. But if you are different, but you're neither of you are open or it's one-sided, then in my opinion, this is just my opinion, of course, I think that it's unfortunate because when you're not open to the other person's opinion or vice versa, when the two people are not open-minded, or one person is not open, in my opinion, there's like going to be a barrier there. And then when you're done, you know, you feel happy with that conversation and feel like your batteries were charged and you had a nice time with that person.
Awesome. I love that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Respect. Oh my gosh. Mutual respect. That whole thing sure does help, right? Communication.
Oh yeah.
Okay, ladies. Lauren, are you back? I'm not sure if you stepped away for a moment. Okay. I'm gonna segue. All right. Thank you so much for your openness to doing that activity, ladies, and sharing with each other.
I did say one.
Oh, I called out a couple times and I thought maybe you stepped away.
Sorry. Please. No, my microphone for some reason is really like I could barely hear anyone, so I had to plug it into my Bluetooth.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, no, please share with us great communication. What is great communication like for you? What does that feel like? What does that look like?
Yeah, so kind of going off of what you were saying, Fawn, I really think communication has a lot to do with, you know, feeling like you've been heard and feeling like, you know, you're important, like, in that time. And what's being said, that person is genuinely wanting to, like, listen. I think also communication is good when you're able to kind of really understand what that person is wanting. So I work in social services. So oftentimes, like, when I know when clients are having, like, you know, like a mental episode, it's being able to kind of switch and tailor the way that I communicate with that specific person and being able to kind of switch the roles of how I would communicate. So just being able to kind of, I'm not saying like act disguises and put on different fronts, but, you know, I think with certain scenarios and certain situations and stuff, you definitely have to wear a different hat. So being able to do that effectively and respectfully.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. That is some wisdom you got there, girl. Definitely. The social and emotional intelligence is kind of the umbrella for what you're speaking to. And empathy, meeting people where they're at. And that's actually part of the workbook. I make a mention of that, of like, sometimes it's called mirroring, but it's also being tuned in. It's being aware, and like active listening is a term as well. This falls under that umbrella of like, where is this person at? Do they seem like they've had a really stressful day? Do they seem like really distracted? Do they, you know, just like really tuning in and not expecting people to be like, you know, like wherever we want them to be, and being able to match that energy. So yeah, thanks for speaking to that. That was really great. All right, so we're going to switch gears. We're going to hop into the workbook. I have a couple things to highlight, and then we're going to close out with an activity. And and do some more sharing. So let me just get this set up here. Okay, can you ladies see my screen? Hands up, yeah, okay, cool. I'm gonna try. There we go. And Lauren, okay. All right, so I made this workbook. It's some like high-level themes, foundational and high-level themes around communication. This is by no means comprehensive. I could write an encyclopedia set probably on communication. So this is like, you know, just like some nuts and bolts stuff. But again, these are things that I have learned throughout my, you know, life experience and also a lot of coaching and a lot of therapy. A lot of studying around relationships and like workshops and stuff like that. So, and these also, I wanted to keep in mind some of the questions that you ladies have sent over and, or that have come up in our coaching conversations, with regard to communication. So hopefully these will feel, applicable. So I never know how to say that applicable. Anyway, communication. How ironic. So the overview essentially is the, like, what is communication? And then some fundamental things that I want everybody to keep in mind that I would like everybody to know at least and embrace if possible. So we're going to go ahead and go through these. Again, I'm not going to dive into all of it, but I am going to highlight a few things because we're going to be pulling from this as we do our last activity. So what is communication? It sounds like everybody on this call has a pretty good handle on what communication is and what it is, what is not, right? We know what it feels like when it's going well, and we know what it feels like when it's not going well. Like we all, you know, shared that, and it seems pretty evident. So this may seem obvious, but I just wanted to really highlight it, is that it's about all parties. It's not just about us and what's in our world, and that, because we are egoic creatures, that can get a little tricky sometimes because we are so like wanting to convey what we're conveying, or we're so wanting to prove our point, or we're so wanting to feel heard that we forget that this is a dance. This is between the other person and us. And it's just as important that we communicate effectively in the outbound direction as it is that that person is receiving what we're communicating to them, because we could be the most incredible orator on the planet, but if the other person isn't getting it, that's not effective communication. So I'm going to be talking about what's our responsibility, what's not our responsibility in a moment here. But I wanted to just, you know, remind everybody, and again, sounds like y'all know this, but that it is a two or multiple party situation. It's not the other person. It's not just us. It is both, right? So there are some thoughts around that I have here. Again, I think based on what's shared tonight, these are, you all pretty much understand it. But I want to highlight some things here. So it's more than just words, and a few of you have mentioned that intermittently in your shares this evening, that it's more than just what you say. I think Layla even said, it doesn't even have to be in the same language, right? It's like, it could be the act of like refilling someone's coffee, or like making the bed, or whatever, right? Or just like smiling on the street. So communication includes how we say what we say, right? This is, I am guilty as fucking charged. Like, this is something that I am working on all the time, because I can be like intellectually or like cognitively having a good conversation, but I might be super sarcastic or condescending and like not good. So yeah. So it's how we say it, right? What's in our tone? This also really plays into positive rapport, negative rapport. So when we are bright, enthusiastic, our voice can express interest and connection. Really great tool to have in the toolbox. And sincerely, I'm not saying like we all have met those people, especially ladies, who are like, oh my God, how are you? Like, I'm so gonna see you. And we're like, I know what you're doing, bitch. Sorry. I'm not alone on that, am I? Okay, cool. I hope Ricky's kids aren't in the room. I just swore on the thing. So yeah, we want to be genuine and sincere with our communication, the how we say it, and then why we say it. And I'm going to talk a lot about, not a lot, but I'm going to dig into this one in a moment. The intention behind our message. What is the intention behind our message? This is where most of the time the train wreck begins, right? Or where the derailing can occur, the disconnect can happen. It's like, we don't even freaking know what we're trying to say or why we're saying it. Like that, and if we don't know, or if we're reacting, or if we're triggered, and we're communicating based off of that, as opposed to based on our like sincere clarity and conscientiousness, it's a different story. When we say it, right? So obviously, like, and I talk about this more in the workbook down the line as well, but if we're having a conversation with someone and they're like, you know, in the middle of a work project, or maybe they are trying to listen to their favorite song, like, you know, just if we're not paying attention to when we say things, or maybe somebody just went through a breakup and we're like, oh my God, I love my boyfriend, he's so amazing. It's like, that might not be the best time. So and then there's also what we don't say, right? So what we don't communicate actually is a form of communication, right? So withholding information, resentments, not like Kim was mentioning this, like not speaking up, not sharing, feeling inhibited, right? So what we don't say communicates something, and our body language so much. So there's statistics that say that anywhere between 70 and 80% of communication is nonverbal. I'm not really, I don't know about that, but there is a lot subcommunicated with body language if there are people present with each other. Like facial expressions, you know, attitude, you can tell if somebody is just like not with you, or if somebody's like super engaged and you can like tell that they're feeling your story. So, yeah, those are elements of communication as well. I want to put another plug here, as always, for nonviolent communication, which I've taught most of you, and Herky, you and I will be diving into this in the near future. Best tool ever. So tuning into our observations, you know, I won't go too much into NVC right now because there's all kinds of materials about it in the program, but essentially tuning into this is communication, observing, getting in touch with our feelings, what am I needing right now, and then communicating that and requesting that if needed. All right, so here's a great article that I came across when I was researching for this call. What is effective communication? What is poor communication? So I'm going to share that with you hypothetically. Let's see here. It is here. Okay, so if you go through this on your own time, it's super succinct and actually like super on point too. Like, these are barriers to effective communication: judging, not paying attention, using technical jargon. I don't know if anyone's experienced that, but I sure have, where someone's like, this, that, and the other technical word, you know, like, and sometimes they do it just to feel smarter than the other person. Yeah, it's like, stop. But sometimes we can do it too, not realizing it, you know, and that's another part of that awareness, that empathic or social intelligence is like, oh, if this person, I need to check that a lot as a coach, because I, you know, meeting people in the real world, I'm so in coachy land that sometimes I'll use terms like stretchy or like gremlins, and people are like, what the f*** are you talking about? giving solutions or unwanted advice. Yeah, this can be a real barrier to communication. Something to be really mindful of and communicate with the other person if we're wanting advice or a solution. And then avoiding the concern. So you ladies can go through this on your own time. This is essentially like an echo or an iteration of what I had created. And I found this and I was like, oh, cool. Helpful article. All right. So I want to just dig into this for a moment here. So this is super challenging, I think, to like embrace and to really, really take on. But it's the truth, and this is the case in all areas of our life. But communication begins with us. Like, responsibility starts with us. And so much of communication where it can break down is when we're pointing fingers, or we think the other person shouldn't have done the thing, or they're bananas for believing what they believe, or they talk to us with a tone or whatever. Like we can be so like pointed right at the other person and like, oh, well they need to change, or like they're the problem, that we totally skip over like, oh, how am I playing a part in this dynamic? Like, how am I showing up? How might I be contributing to the way things are showing up here? So we need to take full responsibility for ourselves, which is so stretchy, so hard sometimes. And that also means apologizing when we're not in our best, you know, alignment. So this includes our feelings, desires, thoughts, behaviors, and actions. This is controversial. What I'm about to say is controversial, but I do subscribe to this. It's one of my beliefs, that nobody can make anybody else feel any kind of way. It's our interpretation. It's the story we have in our mind of what the other person is doing or saying, right? It's that interpretation that creates the way that we feel. It's ultimately the lens through which we're experiencing things. And that's a difficult one because, you know, there's a lot of arguments to it. But I have found it to be very liberating to, when I'm angry or pissed off or sad or like offended, it's not because the other person didn't like literally come up and punch me in the face. It's because I was triggered by what they said. Right. So just being aware of that, taking responsibility for our feelings, which nonviolent communication is all about. It's like, okay, you know, Sarah didn't put the dishes away. I'm feeling really angry because I have a need for cleanliness and orderliness and contribution, you know? So it's like that's the NGC model. Yeah.
But do you still want to go?
Yeah. Oh, it's like Kim. Okay. It's like, yeah. So taking responsibility for our thoughts, behaviors, feelings, really, really important, because from there we're empowered, right? If we're saying it's the other person or people, we're powerless because it's up to them to change in order for us to feel good. But if we're empowered, if we're taking responsibility, then we have a seat at the table and we can contribute to the outcome that we're going for. All right. So this is something that I have found to be so monumental, which is to get clear first, right? So in these scenarios where, let's say, we want to have a conversation with somebody, or we feel like we need to have a conversation with someone, and maybe there's some resistance around it, or we're just not sure how. Like, the first thing to do, if we can, any and all the time, is to get clear with ourselves, right? With ourselves. And take some time to explore our inner world. Like, what's really going on for us? So we're looking for consciousness and we're looking for response versus unconsciousness and reaction. Sometimes I will find that I'll be like in a disagreement or maybe even an argument with somebody, and then I'll walk away, and like a few hours later, maybe the next day, I'm like, why did I even, that doesn't even matter. Like, what? So taking time, if we can, I vote for everybody giving themselves permission to do the timeout card, or at least like taking a bathroom break card, to sort it out right first. So reflect and respond versus react. And one of my favorite things for this is to just straight up like pull out the journal and be like, rant, just like, or confusion, or like, this is going on and this is how it feels, and I'm tired of my boss taking advantage of me, or I'm tired of everybody asking me to do everything when they know that, you know, I'll say yes or whatever. And just let it out, just get it out uncensored without any editing, just like, blah, like get it all out. And because we're in that act, we are acknowledging ourselves. Like, we're saying, I matter, like my experience matters, and I'm just going to get this out. Right. Then we can like, whew, stand back and start to organize it. And we can start to ask ourselves like, like how much of this is emotionally driven, how much of this is defense, how much of this is triggers or from trauma or triggers from relationships in my past that maybe, you know, it's not appropriate in this dynamic. So taking the time, right? We talk a lot about stimulus response buffer. This is exactly what that is. So taking a buffer between stimulus response, taking the time to like organize ourselves and our thoughts and get intentional. So I talk about the benefits of that here. Clarity is one of the best benefits, I think, because it helps us get truth within ourselves of what it is that we are wanting to have a conversation about in the first place. Oh, actually, it's not about Sarah not doing the dishes. It's about Sarah being lying to me 3 times and leaving her stuff around the house. And I just don't want to live with her, right? So getting to the core of it. Okay. So setting the stage. So there's a lot of questions around like, how do I have this conversation? Like, I don't know how to talk to this person. I don't even know how to bring this up. Like, I don't feel confident in bringing this up or speaking up, right, when the topic arises. So these are just some like rules of thumb to keep in mind in setting the stage for a conversation. So this is like before you go and talk to someone, right? So first of all, like ask, request of that person if they can make time for a conversation at a time that's good for them, right? So instead of saying like, hey, can we talk right now? I mean, we could do that, but sometimes that puts people on the spot or they feel unprepared or they feel like they're being attacked. You know, there's all kinds of things that can go on. So I have found it useful to say like, hey, sweetie, like there's something I'd like to talk to you about. Do you have time this evening, like after dinner? And, you know, like yes or no. And that helps the other person feel like they're empowered to say yes or no. So we want the other person to feel empowered in the conversation. We don't want them to just feel like we're coming at them, right? Because that can put people on the defense. So then once you set up a time to talk, within that, you can say there's something that I feel is important to talk to you about. I'd like to get your feedback if it's applicable. Would you be willing to let me know when is a good time, right? And let them know, you know, this is probably just going to be like a short conversation this could be a long conversation. There's just kind of a lot coming up for me. So it might be an hour or two. So just giving people as much information as we can so that they can feel empowered on their side. And then mentioning to them our intention, like this is important to me because we've been friends for 15 years and I would really like to get on the same page about where we're at. And I'd like to get some things off my chest because I don't want to have resentments against you, right? I want to have some honesty. So mentioning those intentions. And then the second point of contact. So this is when it's like conversation time. So these are some tools and tips that are so helpful when starting the conversation. Cause we don't want to just like launch in and be like, so you didn't put the dishes away and I'm pissed. And you know, So one technique is called the soft start, which is essentially sharing an appreciation or a positive and then segueing into the topic at hand. So, and this isn't disingenuous. It's a way to connect, right? Because we want connection as a way to connect and then get real. So soft start might look something like, Sarah, I really love that you always turn the lights off in the house. And I really love that you clean the refrigerator once a month. But there are a few things that I feel could make our household even more positive. Would you be willing to hear what I have to say? Compliment sandwich is really great, especially with men. So compliment sandwich, my coach had me do this so much a few years ago, is like compliment, issue, compliment. So honey, I love the way, or friend, I love that you make time to have dinner with me every night. I so appreciate that you set aside that time. I'm wondering if you would be willing to clean up your dirty clothes after you get home from work. And it would just really help me to be in a better mood when you get home. And I really love being in a good mood when you get home, right? Or something like that. So we want to start with like a positive sandwich it in. Okay. Another thing to keep in mind, you know, just being clear that we're expressing this or wanting this conversation or having the conversation because we want to get on the same page, not because they're wrong or we're trying to attack them or we're trying to say that they're wrong or that something's wrong with them. So we really want to be mindful of like letting them know out the gate in the conversation that our intention isn't to belittle them or shame them. Our intention is to be honest with them. Okay. So this is about the, like, you know, this, it takes two, two to communicate. So you can go ahead and kind of read through those. Let's see if there's anything that stands out here. I think request for clarification is something that has been really helpful for me too, that I didn't do or know about for a long time, which is just asking, like, you know, I don't really understand what you just said. Like, can you like repeat that? Or like, can you tell me more about that? Or can you explain that a little bit more? You know, just like helping people open or like share something so that we know that we're getting it, as opposed to making an assumption about something. That request for clarification is really helpful, like to just say it and like get on the same page. And then I have a little thing here, beware of the pain body. So this is the term that Eckhart Tolle uses in his book, or he coined it in his book, A New Earth. And it's genius. It's so amazing. But the pain body, essentially like the gnarly side of the ego. So our pain body comes out like rawr, talons of flailing when we're feeling, when our ego is getting triggered. And that this is when we like, if someone's treating us like shit, maybe sometimes we want to treat them like shit too. Or if somebody is like triggering us or saying some things that we don't really like, maybe we fire back at them and we're out of alignment, right? We're like not being our best self. So the pain body is like, is kind of that tit for tat sort of thing. And contempt, condescending, judging, things like that. Okay, so let me just get a check on our time here. Okay, so we're getting close to the hour. Here are some recommendations for how to navigate two kinds of conversations. So there's conversations where I have something to talk to you about, but you may not necessarily know that, right? So how do we do that in a way where the other person isn't totally blindsided and like freaked out and like, you know, defensive? And then there's how to navigate us topics. These are my terms. I just wanted to be direct, but like us topic, where it's like both people know, like there's an elephant in the room, there's a thing, and how to navigate those as well. So this, oh my freaking gosh, like, so this tactic is so, so helpful. So you know how oftentimes in conversations we'll jump in and it'll just be like back and forth. And then someone will say something, the other person gets triggered and the other person's reacting. And then we get super derailed and we end up over at Saturn when we were trying to head over to like Vermont. It's like, how did we get way out here? So that dialogue is great, right? And we always get to set the container or the expectations for our dialogue and our intention around that. And what can be super helpful is doing a like pass of the baton, where it's like, hi, I think like I really want to hear what you have to say, and I want to be able to like tune in and focus. Would you be willing to like do 20 minutes where you share and 20 minutes where I share, right? Or just like where one of us is just listening while the person's talking and then swap, right? This is so fucking helpful. It's so great. But in honoring that space, like if we are opening up the floor to the other person first or just in either time, really, it is so important to actively listen, like really actually listen to them and not interrupt them and not just get defensive in our minds and like start creating our rebuttal. Be present with the other person, because that's what we want them to do with us, right? Like if we want to feel heard, then we get to reciprocate that. So this tool, really helpful, especially for close friendships, partnerships, but in any case, really. And all it takes, and I know this might feel stretchy, but all it takes is asking the other person, would you be willing to listen for a few minutes before saying anything? And then I would love to hear what you have to say. Or this is something that one of my best friends offered up to me in a conversation recently about a very challenging topic we've been working through. The opportunity for me to share first. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I'm not the one that has all the things to say. But they invited me to share my reality and like my perspective first. And I was just like, it made me feel so, I was like, felt so well, kind of on the spot, but I also felt like there was a sincere desire for that person to understand me better. So, and then they just listened to me for like 45 minutes. God bless them. So this can be really helpful. Even in the workplace, you know, again, using the setting the stage tools of like, when would be a good time to talk? I really want to make sure we're on the same page. And then would you be willing to just listen? I have some things to share. And then I'd love to hear your feedback. Right. So setting the container, setting the kind of framework and the architecture of the conversation instead of it just being like open-ended can be really useful. Okay. So what to do when things go off the rails? These are just some top of mind ideas that I put here. Obviously not comprehensive, but breathing, right? So bringing that emotional hijacking, bringing our cognitive brains back online, breathing, dropping back down into our breath, getting out of our heads, getting into our breathing, noticing our triggers. This is something that I've learned in the last 2 years to just straight up say it is like, hey, this isn't on you, but I'm feeling really triggered right now. And I just need a few minutes to step away. You know, all this, I'm not trying to run away from the conversation. I literally just need to calm down and like collect my thoughts. So like we get to do that, ladies. Like we don't have to stay in anything where we're in a triggered situation. We can go calm down. In fact, it's better to go and just like collect ourselves. Express care and safety, right? Like, so if things are just going wacky and it's like getting angry or like getting whatever, we can bring it back into and center it or recenter it by saying, you know, I really, really care about you. It's like hurting me right now that we're not on the same page or we're not able to like navigate this, but I just want you to know I love you. And that's the intention here is to connect. Or if it's the boss, right? And it's just like, well, you didn't turn in your CPL reports or whatever, just to bring it back to the center of like, you know, I really care about my position, or maybe you don't, but I want to do a good job, or I want to understand what you're expecting of me. So bring it back to care. Okay. All right. I think that pretty much covers all the crucial. One more thing. So staying in their world, when things are going off the rails, sometimes we can get so in our own world because we're getting like confused or hijacked or like emotional. And so we'll start that like ego or the pain body. We'll just be like in, we'll be here. We'll be with the other person, but really we're just here. So if we can remember to like connect back into their world, what might they be going through? What might they be struggling with or what's happening in there, you know, and like really try to like tune in. And this is where empathy comes in, and it's not easy, especially when it's derailing. But if we can try to see where they're coming from or try to see why they're behaving the way they are, that empathy can really help to de-escalate the butting of heads or the derailing that might be happening. So this happens, like this is great for misunderstandings, right? Where it's like, no, you're not understanding what I'm saying. Like trying to loop in and like see where what they are hearing, you know, and why they might be hearing it. So connecting with that. Okay. So any questions about what I have covered here? Layla, thank you. I can unmute you from my side too. If
it's okay. I got it. Thank you.
Cool.
I have two questions.
Sure.
So if that's okay. My first question is, I saw that if you scroll down just a little bit, I saw something about boundaries and consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Can you clarify that a little bit more, expressing boundaries and consequence? And then my second question is, what if you empathize with the person and like you see that they're in their head and they're not really attempting to understand where you're coming from, if that makes sense? Like, if you empathize with someone and you see that they're only seeing things you feel, at least you feel, maybe you could be wrong because it's an opinion, but you feel that maybe they're selfish or they're not trying to understand where you're coming from, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh man, definitely. great questions. Okay, so boundaries and consequences. So boundaries are not boundaries if there's no repercussion, right? It's just a thing we say or a thing that we put out there. But if there's no consequence to the boundary being kept or the boundary being broken or overstepped, then it's not really a boundary. It's not really useful. So this isn't about punishment. And I want to be very clear about this. Consequences and punishment, very different things. But about an example of a boundary that I don't have in this relationship, thank goodness I don't need to, but in my past relationship, I had a boundary where I would say, if you raise your voice, if you shout at me, I will leave the room. I will not engage in this conversation if you are emotionally heightened to the point where you're like yelling at me, right? Because it doesn't feel blah, blah, blah. So another boundary might be like, I'm sensitive to sarcastic banter. Like I would totally be devastated in like an Italian family. I'm super sensitive. So I might have a boundary with a friend. I did have a boundary with one of my friends who tended to be really sarcastic and like kind of, you know, played rough, like kind of verbally, you know, just like teasing and like, you know, being sarcastic. And I was taking it personally, which was on me, but at the same time, I didn't see it as like a useful connection point for us. Like I didn't understand why this person was like teasing me so much. And so I shared with them like, hey, I know this is me taking things personally, but like, it just doesn't feel good to me when you're picking on me. I know you're playing, but it just doesn't feel good. Could you be more mindful about that? You know, and like it's, we can play in other ways, but that's kind of tender. So, so that would be the boundary. And then, letting them know that I won't want to spend as much time around them if they continue to do that because it doesn't feel good for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same with gossip. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. That drives me crazy. I hate gossip. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, overtly, so these boundaries can be like inside of us, obviously starting with that, but, it's helpful for other people when we express these boundaries we have based on our needs and our values. You know, if I'm around people who are gossiping or super chatty, if these people are in my life a lot, like workplace, this happens in the workplace a lot where it's like, fuck. So either I will remove myself or I'll let them know, you know, I don't really find a lot of value in gossiping or talking about other people, you know, and I'm just, if I leave, it's because I'm not interested in talking about that. Right. Mm-hmm. Is that helpful?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very clear. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. So your second question, if we're empathizing with them and they seem to be in their head and like not trying to understand us, right? Not really open to, I think what I'm hearing you say is like they're in their own world and they're right. Or like they're so in their experience that they aren't trying to see your point of view. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Okay.
Yeah. That's on the note.
Yeah. So there's a few things there. If this tends to be this person's personality, you get to choose if this is someone you want to be around frequently or at all, right? If this doesn't resonate with how you want to be communicate with. So you get to decide like the parameters around that. If this is like a family member or someone that's in your family, or maybe a friend from a long time ago that's like still in your life or something, we get to use our nonviolent communication. So I would invite you to listen to the audiobook or dive into those resources around NVC, because what that helps us do is request of the other person to meet us where we want to be met. And it also helps us to like validate and connect with them in a way that kind of opens them up. This doesn't work all the time. I mean, the president of the United States is a real human that probably wouldn't be conducive to NVC, but I digress. an example that I used recently, actually, when I noticed that somebody just wasn't even trying to like be with me, you know, in it. It was just like them. I asked them like, would you be willing to like share with me what you just heard me say? Like,
right.
Would you be willing to, you know, let me know where you think I might be coming from with that? Like, why might I say that, you know? And kind of inviting them into getting into our world a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And or making an overt request of, you know, hey, you know, I'm not feeling heard right now. I'm not saying it's you, but I'm just like, I would, this and this would help me feel like you are like hearing me, you know, or tuning in. So like directly asking people and like calling them out in a respectful way. But not everybody, I mean, there are a lot of people out there who are in their box. They are in it, you know, and you know, we can tooth and nail it and try to, you know, pull out all the stops to try to get certain kinds of people to empathize or to be, you know, in it with us. And not everybody does or will or is willing to. There are certain personality disorders that shows up in a lot. And there are just certain kind of cultural conditionings that leads to as well, leads to that. So anyway, did that speak to your question? Do you have any?
Yeah, no, that was really helpful. Yeah, thank you. Very clear, good examples. And that makes a lot of sense. I really like the comment you said about if you don't feel like they are engaging or they're only seeing their side, is to gently ask them to kind of repeat back what you just said or how you're feeling to I really like that. So thank you.
Terrific. Yeah. And feel free to make that request anytime, anywhere. Like that's, I think that we might feel timid around that of like, hey, can you tell me what you just heard me say or what you think you just heard me say? Because it might feel needy, but honestly, it is so helpful for making sure that they actually did hear what we said. Cause a lot of times, like there've been a lot of situations where I've asked that and the other person says what they heard me say and it's not or not what I was intending. So it's really helpful for clarity. And then when they reflect it back and let's say it's off base, we can say, oh, okay, well, like, yeah, this part you really got, or like, oh, I just want to like say something. Is it okay if I say something like just because I feel like you almost got it, but I want you to know a little bit more. So it kind of opens up that clarity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. Thank you.
Great questions. Thank you. Yeah. Let's see. I'm guessing we are over time. My clock is hidden. All right. So we will not do the last activity tonight, but I can invite you all to do it on your own or with somebody that you feel safe doing this with. So essentially, it is a role play. And the more we practice communication, the better we get at it, right? Especially if we can practice it in a safe environment and then bring it out into the real world. So things like difficult conversations, deep conversations, if we can get some coaching around it, or if we can like just role play with a friend, and or in our journal, whatever. So the idea here is like, think of something that is up for you, alive for you with communication, something that you would like to do communication wise, that you're feeling some resistance around, where you're like kind of scared or don't know how to, or like not feeling like confident enough maybe to do it. So somebody that you trust, do a role play with them using the tools in this workbook, right? So practice the setting the stage, practice these, like the me you topic or the us topic, practice this stuff with someone you feel safe with or with yourself, but having someone else is usually better. And while you're doing this, give yourself permission to be completely honest about the experience. For example, like if you're role playing with your best friend or something, and it's a conversation you want to have with your boss, ask your friend to like play the role of your boss, you know, and like put on that archetype or what have you. And as you're role playing, it's like, feel into your experience, feel where those triggers are, feel where those resistance points are, and work through those, practice working through those, because that, just like with anything else, then when it's game time, right, and you get more confidence around, okay, oh, there was that trigger and you know why, then when you actually talk to the person, you're prepared. right? And I think a lot of the nervousness around, or the insecurity around conversations and communication, can come from feeling like we don't know what we're doing. Or like, what if they say this? You know, how will I handle that? So whoever you're role playing with, have them do like best case scenario, worst case scenario, throw it at you, and run through it in that regard. And practice these derailers. Like if the other person's doing worst case scenario, like, you know, they're just playing devil's advocate. Practice these too. Like communication is no different than anything else we do with personal development or sports or art or business or, you know, fitness, whatever. The more we practice it, the better we get at it. And the more natural it will come to us in the moment when those spontaneous things do arise. And we're like, oh man, this girl just said something I don't agree with, but I'm not going to say anything. Right. If we practice speaking up, then we might be like, hey, you know, it's really interesting what you just said. I actually disagree, you know, or whatever. So, okay, that's your assignment. That's your homework, ladies. choose something that is alive for you, a conversation you want to have, or a communication you want to have, and role play it either with yourself or with someone else. Or me. You can do it with me too. Okay, I'm going to end my screen share here, and we're going to wrap out. Let's see here. Okay, I see that Herky and Kim are still here, but you're both muted, and I have two chats. Let me just... Da-da-da. Okay, Kim's joining by phone. Kim, are you with us by phone? Okay, Lauren had to go. Okay, Kim might be on the phone. All right, so I see that we're... over time, so I want to be mindful of that. Does anybody have to hop off right now, this moment? Okay, let's go ahead and email me any questions you have based on this call. Send those over an email, and then I'll be happy to answer those. I'll probably put them in the Facebook group so that everybody can benefit from the Q&A there. And let's do takeaways. All right, so... let's see here. Layla, would you be willing to share a takeaway?
For me, everything was very useful, and I think just being here, being back, has been really, really good. Because it's been a long time since I've been here. So I'm just really grateful and happy to have the space with you guys. And I'm sorry if my last question took up too much time. I didn't mean to overrun by my questions, or if somebody
else... No, it's okay. I
apologize. Yeah. Yeah. But just very grateful to be here with you guys. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so glad to have you back with us. Thanks for waking up early. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Herky, would you be willing to share a takeaway?
Yeah, so I think the exercises of actually writing this through or thinking it through, and also, you know, sharing within the group felt very good. Yeah, and then the fact about, you know, you said about stimulus and response, and also about journaling when it's not making sense. So I did that yesterday. And it felt very good when what the other person is saying, like, you know, and it just doesn't make sense. And in between that, you want to buy some time or whatever. I mean, you want to just write it down. So that really helped me yesterday.
Wonderful. Oh, that's awesome. I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah. Giving yourself that space to like process. Yeah. That's awesome. Kim, are you... here on the phone?
Yes.
Hi, would you like to share a takeaway?
Yes, I appreciated Layla's question and your answer when you told us the difference between punishment and consequences when setting boundaries for people. So that made things clear, because I did feel like it was almost like putting people on punishment, but I see the difference. So maybe it's a little easier to set those, knowing that, you know, like you said, just walk away. You know, that's not a punishment. That's mm-hmm. not saying I'm never going to speak to you again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just saying I'm not going to put up with that at all right now. you know, so I'm going to immediately leave. And when you change your tone of voice, then I can so, yeah, I appreciated that. So
wonderful. Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, that was a great question, Layla. Thank you. Yeah, consequences are in support of our best self. Punishment is about manipulating or controlling the other person to a lot of different things. But yeah, we want it to, our boundaries are always about us. Our boundaries are not a no to someone else necessarily. It's a yes to something that's important to us. So to me, like my safety and healthy communication, like respectful communication involves not shouting at each other. So to me, like I'm upholding my value for healthy communication by walking away. It's not that I'm like, fuck you. You know, it's, it's about, well, maybe sometimes in my mind.
But I love that what you said. Boundary is a yes to me. Something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, I encourage anybody who is just learning about boundaries or maybe just starting to practice boundaries, give yourself permission to do some research around healthy boundaries. There's tons of articles online. I think I have there's a portion in module 6, the relationships module in the relating toolbox, I believe, about boundaries. They're super important. And like a lot of people, there's a misperception, and maybe this is helping to clear that up, but there's a misperception that boundaries are like a negative thing, right? For some reason, there's this like, oh, I'm setting a boundary with you. But really, boundaries are like the best things we can have in our lives. That in our core values and self-respect, the boundaries are a yes to us. They're like, yeah, like, no, I'm not going to hang around with people who are racist and talking about other humans like in a negative, like, no way. I'm yesing to my to my value and my standard around that, right?
Right.
So I'm glad that was
helpful.
Yeah, it sounds like something's really resonating with you, Ricky.
Yeah, because in a negative sense, it seemed so difficult and heavy, you know, to do.
Yeah.
And now it seems like, you know, I'm saying yes to me. It somehow feels like it's easier to do, right?
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. Beautiful. Okay, ladies. I'm happy to hang for a couple extra minutes if there are any questions. I can hang on for 5 minutes, but if everybody wants to hop off, have a wonderful night. Thank you so much for being here. And as always, post your questions or any follow-ups of this call in the Facebook group or email me, and I'm here to help, hopefully. Awesome. All right. Good night, or good morning and good night, everyone. Mm-hmm. Yay. Did everyone do a takeaway? Everyone did a takeaway, right? Okay. I want to make sure I'm not skipping. Okay. Awesome. My takeaway is that I just love and adore you ladies, and I'm so grateful to be in space.
Bye.
Yay. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night,
happy,
guys.
Happy communicating. All right. Good night.